Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively breaking down a victorious Thursday evening in Miami Gardens down in Florida in the home of Lamar Jackson. We've talked at length about Lamar Jackson getting back on the field, the benefits of that, and the offensive line and scoring 28 points. Luke Jones joins us now as he will hopefully next Friday at Pizza John's. We do the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're also going to be at Coco's on Wednesday. We'll have lottery tickets to give away. Also, big thanks to our friends at GBMC and Curio Wellness for sponsoring all of our work here in the fall season, so we can talk about a 3-5 football team with a returning offense, but still, Luke, when it comes down to it, the defense is what's going to get them beat, right? Not having a pass rush. Some things have certainly gotten better about the defense, including Roquan Smith's hamstring. As much as we talk about Lamar's hamstring, having Roquan running at full speed, he doesn't look like a fat old man right now. That's good.
He's playing very well. I mean, he was great against the Bears. He was very good on Thursday night. And, you have a defense that is certainly playing much better over these last three games, even going back to that Rams game. And I get it. You go back and look at that game. I mean, LA, they left some opportunities on the field. There was no doubt about it. But you've seen this dramatic shift from the moment that they traded for Alohi Gilman, getting back to a three safety defense, three safety nickel, Kyle Hamilton playing close to the line of scrimmage. We talked about it most of the spring from the moment that Ardarius Washington got hurt and that derailed their plan from when they drafted Malachi Starks. They wanted to play a style that was similar to this. That injury happens. They kind of pivoted to, okay, well, we've got these corners. We're going to add Jaire Alexander. We're going to play with more corners on the field. Well, that didn't work out so well, right? And obviously, the injury to Nnamdi Matabike still looms so large for this football team in a big picture sense, not just for the rest of this year, but not knowing what his future is going to look like. But bringing it back to the present, we're seeing a much higher floor for this defense. There's still plenty that you can look at, beyond just the pass rush. I mean, look at that first half. If I had told you before the game started, Nestor, that Miami would have the ball for 19 minutes in the first half, they would punt once, they would outgain the Ravens by over 100 yards, you'd probably be thinking, oh, they did.
I hope they kick some field goals, is what I'd
Are
say.
the I'd be you know you'd be what you'd certainly be thinking the Ravens would be losing that game, and it was 14-6. Now, what made a big difference here? Obviously, Miami turns the ball over, but a great play by Alohi Gilman on the second drive after the Dolphins kicked a field goal on that opening drive to get an early lead. But they were great on third down. They were great inside the red zone. They did not commit back-breaking penalties in the way that Miami did, right? So,
Well, the red
use.
zone thing's kind of that's a good sign. Even against a bad team,
Oh,
that's a good sign.
absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look, we've talked about it and we saw this. I mean, Lamar Jackson comes back for the first time in over a month and throws four touchdowns, right? This offense, for as much as we'll continue to talk about the offensive line and their running game still needing to be better than it's been collectively, you have a lot to work with there when you have a healthy two-time MVP quarterback leading the way on the offensive side of the ball. So even with those issues, even with those concerns about the offensive line, you still feel much better about the offense than not. The defense, they've been able to raise the floor. They are at a point now where you're saying, okay, they're still bending, and they're bending quite a bit, but they're not breaking like they had been. And that's where you look at, as this team is constructed, when you have Lamar Jackson, when you have an offense that even on a night when they didn't run the ball worth a darn in the first half, and you still have the questions about the offensive line, they still hung 28 points on a team on the road on a short week, right? That's still saying something, even if it was against a bad team. That what I'm saying by that is this defense doesn't need to be a top three defense in the NFL or a top five defense in the NFL for this team to make a deep run. Now, the pass rush still, they're going to have to find that. I still think at the trade deadline, an edge player would be enormous for them, right? Not saying it's going to be, Max Crosby or someone, where it's a pie in the sky idea, but someone that can help you there. And maybe Carl Lawson, who, now has will have a couple practice weeks under his belt. I would expect we're going to see him in the mix there. Right now it's Kyle Van Noy, it's David Ajabo not doing a whole lot. It's Mike Green, cutting his teeth and getting more experience. And you're hoping, Malachi Starks, another rookie on the back end gets an interception. You want to see more from those young guys, but it's still a lot of, is that going to be enough? Are they going to get enough pressure consistently? But if they can, the formula of you can give up some yards, and I mean, the end of the night, Miami, from a yardage standpoint, it was very similar. I mean, these teams almost had the same amount of yardage, which speaks to that's clearly not the best barometer of assessing how a football game
Yeah, well,
goes,
when a score
but
is
it speaks
14 to
to the
6 and you
idea.
realize two plays on third down for it, well, actually three because they missed the field goal,
Sure.
that was the prescription. If the
Yeah.
Dolphins were a winning team, they would have been winning 21 to 14 at halftime instead of losing 14 to 6 because they squandered all sorts of opportunities. And I'll give the Ravens defense credit, but only so much, only so much.
I mean, I'll give them credit from the standpoint of they were really good inside the red zone and they were really good on third down. Look, it's the NFL, right? And especially when you don't have, a great pass rush. I mean, they don't even have a good pass rush right now. They've certainly cleaned up their run defense. I mean, early in the game, Miami popped a couple runs, but didn't do a whole lot. The Bears, same way. The Bears ran the ball very early in that game last, I say last week, it was 5 days ago, right? But you kind of look at that. They've gotten better in that. They stopped the run ag against the Rams as well. So they've started to clean that up. And that was something that was a big concern, when they lost Matt Ebike. Travis Jones was banged up at the time. That didn't help either. But you're seeing elements for this defense to be better. I keep saying they've been able to raise the floor of this defense, right? Right. I no longer feel like they're going to get gouged, right? That they're going to give up 30 plus or 40 plus the way they were earlier in the season. Now, granted, Miami's really struggling and they've been terrible. Last Sunday in Atlanta aside, they've been very poor, but we're seeing better situational football from this defense. And again, I can't help but continue to point to Kyle Hamilton being in the box, and to your point, Roquan Smith being healthy and looking more like the Roquan Smith we saw a couple years ago. I
Marlon
mean,
Humphrey's out there playing right now. There have been
Marlon
times when he hadn't
Humphrey is
played.
playing better, right? We've seen a better version of Marlon Humphrey here. Marlon Humphrey was really bad the first month of the season. Now, how much of that was health, I don't know, but when he was out there, he wasn't playing well. So
We spend a whole month of April talking about who the number one draft pick's going to be. At least here in October, as we move into November, Starks doesn't look like a bust.
Yeah, and look, it's always, I mean, the first month of the season, first 6 weeks of the season, especially all the injuries they had, all the angst over just how they were playing as a unit. It's easy to kind of look at the young guys and say, well, they need more from them. Well, of course, but you need more from your veterans too. The Ravens weren't getting good play from their veteran players, let alone you're talking
Well,
about
and
rookies.
Starks
So
is about
yeah,
to
it was
play
too
games
soon.
he's never played before. They don't play more than 8 or 9 or 10 games in college these days, right? So, this is where this thing's about to extend out a little bit.
Well, but he played at Georgia, so
Yeah,
he
they
did,
play
he,
SEC championships and pre-championships, and yeah,
and you
they
have the
do all that.
college football playoff now. So I'm not as concerned about that as much as it's getting experience. You're playing at the absolute highest level, right? I mean, as much, look, I love college football as much as anyone. It's not the NFL. It's kind of like baseball. We talk about, we've talked about this a lot with the Orioles over the years. These Triple A prospects at Triple A, why haven't they been called up? Why isn't this guy in Baltimore? And then you see him even after it's 2 months past due when fans wanted them to be called up, and they still struggle because the jump is quite dramatic. So, and then when you take into account all the other issues that was going on with this defense, yeah, you're going to see someone like Malachi Starks probably struggle a little bit more. And by the way, just because he had an interception doesn't mean that he's not going to have some more growing pains, but you want to see progress. Mike
Well,
Green
I
had
just
the
want to
big
notice
sack
these
early in the
guys, right?
game.
Yeah, and he got tripped at
Yeah.
one point. I mean, when you're noticing these guys making plays of effort, even mistakes of effort, right? Or when they're not getting
Yeah.
picked on, or when they are getting picked on, they pick the ball off. So all the way around. I mean, Gilman's a plus. Starks has been a plus. Marlon Humphrey's health has been a plus. Roquan being healthy, a plus. Now, the defensive line and the pass rush, And obviously, Kyle Hamilton being down and injured momentarily, they can't afford anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one thing we talked about when they were 1-5. Just, if you're talking about the path, obviously it started with Lamar getting back on the field, and we saw that with him throwing four touchdowns on Thursday night. But, obviously you want to make these improvements, but when you're 1-5, and even at 3-5 now, they're still not operating from a huge margin for error here, right? I mean, we talked about it from Sunday's win going into the Thursday night game. If, it's great to beat the Bears, but if you lay an egg and you come out flat and you play lousy on a short week on a Thursday night road game, then you're 2-6 and you're kind of right back to square one in terms of the bad vibes, right? Even with Lamar being back. But they won, but they have to stay healthy. I mean, they are very healthy. This was the first time in I don't know how long, Nestor, where they had no one on their final injury report. They didn't have anyone even listed as much as questionable. Now, granted, you've lost Nnamdi Matabike. You've lost Roderick Washington, who's out indefinitely and having surgery when we thought maybe he was going to come back in the near future. For me, I look at the defense and that, and more specifically, the defensive line and the edge rushers. What's Eric DaCosta going to do at the trade deadline? It feels like they need at least one meaningful addition there. And that doesn't mean you're trading a first round pick for someone necessarily, but someone that can help you there, right? I mean, someone that can, is it necessarily an all-pro talent, but someone that can be part of the
How about
collective
someone
to
we
make that
notice?
group
How about
better?
somebody that's going out there and taking snaps, and
Sure.
every week we look up and say they made a play or two? Just a couple play or two.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, and some of that's also, hey, can you set the edge? I mean, they had some, they had some vulnerability early in that game with setting the edge. Now it got better as the night went on, and obviously Miami falling behind multiple scores, you get out of a script where you're going to be running the ball, for anything other than just to show it here and there. But that's part of this as well. So I'm still looking at that until the trade deadline passes. That has to be a big part of the conversation in terms of what can you do personnel wise to make that better. As I said, Carl Lawson, I think, can be part of that as well, and I think he can help them. But can you make a massive move? If you can make a massive, massive trade, if you can bring in a real highlight player, whether it's an edge guy, or
Well,
I would all.
they don't feel like a 3-5 team from that standpoint. They feel like an acquisition here could be a game changer for them, and they don't.
Sure.
The season, I think you're not tiptoeing through this anymore. They're in a real
No.
season, and if they can really get Max Crosby for a want, whatever, I'm making
Yeah.
that up. If they can make a splash in some way, and again, Roquan was a splash. I mean, that's a lottery pick. That was the kind of player they couldn't get in the draft, and they paid him more than you wanted them to pay him at that point. And the jury's still out. He hadn't won a championship, hadn't won playoff games here. But that being said, that kind of acquisition's not out of the realm of possibility in regard to DaCosta, I don't think. And I know, look, they're never going to give draft picks with. They're going to have to give a draft pick away for the shenanigans last week. Bad enough, literally. But go read about that. I'm not going to beat them up after they won. I beat them up plenty last week. But that being said, they're not going to tiptoe into this as a 3-4. They're going to be on board to make a big deal because I think. They see what you and I see. They need real help. If they can really get someone on the defensive line, some Calais Campbell, I'm making that up, but somebody who could be much more of an impact for them than the outside of someone's roster or someone that's on the street right now. And they're not going to sell me on
Yeah.
that.
Sure.
Domata Peka, one of those kinds of guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Raiders have been very adamant, and I saw Ian Rappaport, who was part of Prime's pregame show, saying, it sounds like the Raiders, I mean, it sounds totally legitimate. They're not trading Max Crosby. The name that's out there that I think is the big name, it's not an edge guy, but Quinnen Williams of the Jets, defensive tackle. I mean, let's face it, I think the Ravens, even if they are not saying anything and they're letting Matabike speak whenever he's going to speak about his health, his
He's not in
long-term
their
future, all that.
plans any longer. He's in their salary cap, but not in their plans.
I mean, he might not be, right? I mean, we don't know, but Point is, they internally have a better idea of what that is. So let's say, just for the argument that there is very severe doubt about his ability to play in the future, well, Quinnen Williams would be a very comparable replacement. Now, he's also making a ton of money, just like Matt Abike. So there is the question of how you make that work from a salary cap standpoint, not just for the rest of
Well, dude,
2025, but moving
if the
forward.
Packers can pick
But
up Micah Parsons 5 minutes before the season begins,
I
right?
mean,
Like,
there
that's
are
a
always.
huge impact. And there are a lot of dumb teams, and the Jets are a dumb team, right? So are the Raiders,
Sure.
quite frankly. You know, and so are the Bears for giving us Roquan Smith, period, right? Good teams don't do that. We're not dealing Kyle Hamilton off. You know,
Right.
I mean, we're just not.
And that's
So.
also part of who exactly is going to be available, right? It's very easy for me to sit here, at home saying, "Oh, well, the Jets will trade the Ravens Quinnen Williams." Well, the Jets are also thinking, "Okay, this year might be
They
sunk,
got to play next year.
but we want him on our team next year and the
Well,
year
how
after
bad
that,
we had to
right?"
be to draft him to begin
Yeah,
with, right? Yeah.
exactly. So, but he's one name that's been thrown out there that could be available. I mean, you want to talk about something that would help your pass rush? It's basically getting a Nnamdi Matabike back in the mix, right? I mean, that's what you're talking about there. So,
Well, when they
might
had him, we thought of them as a Super Bowl contender. I don't
sure.
think of them as a Super Bowl contender right now. I don't think they're capable of winning 4 games in January and February the way they're comprised right this minute. I don't.
Well,
I don't. I don't. I don't see that sign. Even though we're all bullish about them beating Miami and beating Chicago, they got their ass kicked pretty good the first month of the year by good teams. Seeing where that's going to be in January and knowing it's going to be on the road, if it's anywhere at all, I can't talk about them as a Super Bowl contender. I'm
I
going to
mean,
talk about them as a potential division champion because I believe that. I don't say
yeah.
anything I don't believe here, but I believe that they can win the division 10 and 7, 9 and 8, whatever it is, sloppy wins, split with Pittsburgh, sweep Cincinnati. I don't know what that'll look like. I know those teams aren't very good, but you can start t talking to me about them
Need
going
some
to
help.
Kansas City and going to Buffalo to win in January. They need to do better than a rudimentary addition to their defense because they are playing without Matt Ibiki and they're going to play without him and they're going to play without a pass rush. And Kyle Van Noy's not going to get younger or better.
Right.
And Adafi always not coming back, right? So, all of that being said, I am bullish that they think they can win a Super Bowl. They're in the business of not punting on a season at this point. So if they're not punting on the season, it means they're all in. And if they're all in, when you've dealt for Roquan Smith, right?
Yeah.
And when you've dealt for Eugene Monroe, I look at it and say they'll identify somebody else as maybe not Micah Parsons, but whatever the best player that's available out there who's going to get dealt, you got to pony up. Your second
Yeah.
round pick, whatever you're gonna have to pony up, you're gonna have to pony up. And they're already gonna
Well,
lose a draft pick for their shenanigans next week or last week, next year.
they are. I'm still skeptical how early the draft pick will be. We'll see, right? But yeah, I mean, I would think that that's going to be in the cards. But again, it comes back to who, realistically speaking, is going to be available. What is the cost going to be in terms of salary and contract structure moving forward, and in terms of draft compensation? I mean, there have been years where they've wanted to make a bigger splash than they have, and the players aren't available, right? I mean, you can't lose your mind and trade 2 first-round picks for someone if it's not worth 2 first-round picks. At the same time, they traded a second-round pick for Roquan Smith, right? I mean, so, we're going to see how this plays out, but I'm with you. First of all, January's so far out, and when you're 3-5, you still have so much work to do, albeit against a soft schedule, especially the next month. But at the same time, yeah, if you're thinking in terms of getting into that position, whether you're 10-7 or you really get on a roll and you somehow finish 11-6, right? Which everyone would. But if you're talking in terms of what that looks like in January, you still come back to the pass rush, you still come back to the defensive line, just the depth.
The
I mean, they have
offensive
a.
line too. We've already beaten
Oh,
them up plenty.
no doubt. I'll continue to say, go rescue Kevin Zeitler from the Titans. I mean, I can't imagine it would cost that much in terms of draft compensation, unless the Titans say we have a number one overall pick rookie quarterback. We need to keep Kevin Zeitler to keep him as upright as possible. And I'll hear that. But in terms of there's a guy that I think could help your offensive line, but to stay focused on the defense, I mean, Yeah, if we're going to really look far ahead and really, and look, even before that, they still need to go on the kind of roll and finish the month of December, which is not the easiest slate of games when you're looking at, when you get to Pittsburgh December 7th at Cincinnati the 14th, and then New England at home, which that game looks way different right now than it did in May. Let's put it that way at the very least, regardless of the Patriots, how for real they are. They're good. I'm not sure they're great, but they're good. And then you're at Green Bay at Pittsburgh. So just to go through to navigate that slate, man, I'd look at this defense and boy, if you could add an edge of some impact or a defensive tackle or some of some impact, I mean, sure, both in a perfect world. I'm trying to be realistic here, but if you could add one impact piece at one of those two spots, it would really help because they're light there right now. I mean, it's not just the quality, there's also the quantity issue. I mean, they've had three outside linebackers active the last 2 weeks. And okay, I'll throw Lawson into the mix. I'll give you that. So you'll have four then. But, there's the quantity and the quality question for their defensive line and their defensive front and their pass rush collectively. And yeah, Kyle Hamilton blitzing and Roquan Smith from the A gap, and you can do different, they blitz their. They'll blitz a corner. I mean, you can do different things like that, and that's going to be part of what they do. This team's blitzed a lot. If you go look at their blitz rate, I mean, it ranks pretty high, but it hasn't gotten home a whole lot, right? So it's clearly something that they're aware of,
Well, for
right? I
the
mean, I
Simpsons and the Starks and the Wiggins, the younger players to step up, and we notice them as much as we notice Hamilton and Marlon Humphrey and Roquan Smith. I mean, I still think they have good young talent that is, you want to see it emerge in the next
Sure.
4 to 6 weeks. You want to notice Starks the way I did on Thursday night. You want to notice Mike Green a little bit
Yeah.
more than we did the first month of the season. Because those are the guys that are going to be playing. I mean, no matter who
Yeah.
you, whatever pie in the sky dream trade you have for Max
Sure.
Crosby or whomever, these other guys have to be good because they're
Yeah.
and healthy because they're
And I'm
starters.
glad you,
They're real.
yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned Mike Green again. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think we've absolutely seen flashes, but you need to see more,
We
right?
saw
And you're
flashes from
hoping,
Elway for 4 years too, and he never.
sure. And but that's what you're counting on, right? I mean, look at Nate Wiggins right now. I mean, I know he had a PI, right? But we've seen Nate Wiggins more and more these last few weeks. I mean, he's matching up with the opposition's number one wide receiver. I mean, not necessarily doing it exclusively, but he's done some shadowing, right? I mean, we saw him do that against Davante Adams in that Rams game. So, you're seeing Nate Wiggins. He's their number one corner at this point. I mean, Humphrey, and obviously Humphrey was playing the nickel early in the season before they shifted and went to Hamilton at the nickel spot. But, Nate Wiggins is emerging. I'm not saying he's an all-pro just yet. Let's be clear. He still needs to find more consistency, but you're seeing an ascending player right there. And that's what you want to see from Starks the rest of the year.
You
That's
truly
what
want to
you
see
want to
who's your
see from
first
Mike
round
Green.
picks, right?
I mean,
Period.
I'd
Yeah.
be remiss. We haven't even mentioned, I mean, how about the play Teddy Buchanan made on the same day he was named AFC Defensive Rookie of the Month, which I'm not sure if he really was that guy in October, but you're seeing someone that's playing a lot. He's He flashed. I mean, whether he was the one who actually poked the ball out there or not, he made the tackle. That was a end around play with the receiver carrying the ball and wrapped him up, and the ball gets poked out in the process. That was good to see. You need more of that. I mean,
Well, they have,
man,
I mean, getting turnovers. We haven't talked about that at all in 25 minutes.
they're
They got
good.
a couple of turnovers, and that
Yeah,
makes a big, big difference.
they got
Especially
three
when
of
the other
them,
team,
right?
you get off the field a couple times on third down. They miss a field goal. I mean, they played pretty clean defensively, I thought. Against a bad team, I'll give
Yeah.
you that. But there were, it was a feel. It's a feel good night. It's a feel good 10 days after playing that way, especially for young players on a 1-5 team with no confidence, right? I mean, you can't have that.
Right.
I saw
Yeah.
that with Miami. They're playing with no confidence.
They were a good high leverage defense on Thursday night. They gave up a bunch of yardage in between the 20s, no doubt. Miami absolutely stubbed their toe multiple times and shot themselves in the foot multiple times, but this defense rose to the occasion. I mean, when you look at the final numbers and the fact that Miami was 2 of 12 on third down, they were 0 for 3 inside the red zone. I mean, go no further than that. And then three takeaways, right? And especially the Gilman forced fumble, right? I mean, on the second drive there, I mean, look at how different that first half is if that doesn't happen. I mean, the Ravens, that was their first touchdown, and they needed four plays just to get that. You know, they had goal to go, and they had fourth and goal before Lamar throws the touchdown to Andrews. I mean, that offense scuffled in the first half, except for one drive. I mean, that was a massive play by Gilman there. And, you know, we've seen Gilman. If I have one nitpick about Gilman, he misses a few too many tackles. You know, that's one. His tackling hasn't been great. That's something I'd like to see him clean up, get cleaned up a little bit. But he made an impact, right? And that's what you're looking for. I mean, their defense looks so much different now with Hamilton in the box and playing at the line of scrimmage, and you're blitzing him off the edge and doing the things that we saw him do his first couple years. And last year they had to go away from that because Marcus Williams and Eddie Jackson couldn't cover anyone on the
Well, I mean,
back end of the
let's be honest. You
defense.
got a defender who can be disruptive, like Ray Lewis was
Yeah.
disruptive, like Terrell Suggs
I
was,
mean,
like Ed Reed was the disruptive player. Kyle Hamilton is a
he's a football
disruptive
player.
player.
He's not a safety. He's a football player. I mean, and you know that I sound like a little like old school football guy saying that. You know, what I mean by that is he's a positionless player. I mean, you can line him up and do just about anything. I mean, I don't know if you saw the clip of the Bears game where he actually picked a guard, you know, as they ran a, you know, whatever their stun or the blitz they were running, he picked off a guard on that play and still got to Caleb Williams before anyone else. I mean, freakish stuff right there
Well,
that you're seeing
he's got
from
a
someone
freakish
that,
size about him too,
I mean,
right?
he's such a great player. And, you know, we haven't necessarily seen him, you know, like a big interception or something like that, you know, since he's been back in the box. But man, you just see his impact. You see him, you know, what was it was the change of direction play where the Miami ball carrier ended up turning directions, ran the other side of the field and ended up getting 6 or 7 yards. Hamilton blew that play up 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage, though. You know, it was more his teammates' problem of not rallying to the ball and making a tackle there. But you just see what he does. And it's why guys like me who don't know a whole lot about football, but know enough to really maximize Kyle Hamilton's value. And look, this is not a knock on his ability away from the line of scrimmage. He can cover and play center field. We've seen that. He did that last year at a time where the Ravens needed that from him because they didn't have anyone else who could do it. But his full potential and his full value is unlocked when you can use him as that guy that's just moving all over the place. I mean, it's just it. I think back to Tom Brady, who, if you remember, famously, you know, one of the NFL films documentaries talked about the fact that he had on his wristband when he played the Ravens, fined 20 on every play. I'm not saying Kyle Hamilton is Ed Reed. Let me be clear about that. But he is that dynamic in terms of pre-snap, the opposing quarterback, the opposing, you know, the offense that's on the field. They have to know where Hamilton is because he's going to wreck the game if you don't have a handle on what he's about to do and if you don't have a plan for it. And you know, we're seeing that difference, and we're seeing the defense be better with that alone before you start talking about some of the other guys getting healthy. You know, Roquan Smith being back is huge. There's no doubt about that. You know, regardless of how anyone feels about what, you know, is Roquan truly a $20 million linebacker? Well, he's their best linebacker, whether you think he's a 20 million guy or not, he's their best guy and they need him out there, right? So he's back out there. It's made the second level of their defense that much better. And you know, you're seeing a defense that's improved. It's not where it needs to be in a big picture sense. I share your concerns in terms of when you get into January and you're thinking about, you know, the vision for this team making a run. Yeah, their pass rush, they've got to find something. That's why the trade deadline is, in my mind, so big. You know, they need something there, something to come away from the trade deadline with to make you better, whether it's a D tackle, whether it's an edge guy. You know, they already added a safety, so it's not like Eric DaCosta hasn't done any work, but keep in mind they did have to trade Oweh to do that, and saying Oweh was great,
They took a
but
weakness and made it weaker.
yeah, right, exactly. So, you know, that's where you still look at this thing and man, you really feel like they need at least one more meaningful piece there to come away with. If you do that, then I can envision a path for their pass rush collectively, at least getting better to the point where it's not this liability that it's been, because you know they're still far too many times. And you know, they hey, Brent Urban had a sack on that first defensive drive of the second half. That was good to see, right? I mean, they collapsed the pocket a few times here and there, but are we seeing that consistently enough, especially when you're thinking about potential matchups against better teams later in the season or getting into January? Yeah, that's the big one still for this defense, even if they have cleaned up some of those other areas that were deficiencies early in the season.
Trade deadline is Tuesday afternoon. Luke will have anything that happens on the WNSD Tech Service. It's all brought to you by our friends at Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. And of course, we're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. We'll be at Coco's on Wednesday. We'll be at Pizza John's on Friday, putting some more things together into November. He is Luke. You can find him at Baltimore Luke, Luke at WNST.net. I can be found Ness at Baltimore Positive or just about anywhere social media travels. Luke will be out at Knowings Mills. Ravens have a long week, but it'll feel a little shorter by the time we get here on Monday. I hope everybody enjoys the football games all weekend long, as well as whenever we get together, Luke, there will be a World Series champion the next time, too. So a little bit of baseball, a little bit of college football this weekend. Actually, really good local college basketball on Monday night down at the CFG Bank Arena, as well as my Coppin State Eagles are going to play the Terps. So things happening around here from a basketball, even hockey. I had dinner with Barry Trotz the other night. I'm not going to bore anybody on the air with that, but it is, tis the season, and it's better to be 3-5 than 1-5. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.